Recording.
Hey, I'm a Bayes Mishnah. And Mishnah says, Shachtai, if a person shechted or did whatever avoidance of the Purban, I'm a Naslan Yechas Yomai Ayamur of a Mocher, thinking that he's going to leave over the blood of the Ayamurim tomorrow. Now, if he has in mind to sprinkle or burn them tomorrow, that's classic table. But here he only means to leave them over and not to do anything with it. Or like see him lachutz, or to take him outside the Azara. The Yehuda posel from machin. The Yehuda says that will be enough to make the Torah posel, not pigle, fine, but nevertheless posel. The Chum says it's completely kosher in that case. What about Amanas Litnanach, Gabi Akebesh, Shalokin Negadeisod? What if he shechts or does the avodas of the Korban, having in mind that he's going to sprinkle the blood on the Kebesh, or on a part of the Mizbeach that's not above the Yisod? All applications of blood to the Mizbeach, except for one of the applications of a Chatas, has to be above a part that has a Yisod. The Litanus, and he turned on the Milo Lamato, with blood that's supposed to go on the top half of the Mizbeach, he has in mind to put on the bottom half, so blood of a Chatas to put on the bottom half, or blood of a Chatas Behemer, or Ola Soif, as the case may be. That's an eternal Mato Lamilo, and blood that's supposed to go on the bottom half, most Korbanus Behema outside of Chatas, and the Ola Soif are supposed to go. So the Chatas Oif are supposed to go on the bottom, and he has in mind to put them on the top. That's an Etonin Bifnim Bachot, so he has in mind blood that's supposed to be placed inside the Heichol, the part of Ministrof, and the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, etc. He has in mind just to apply it Bachot on the outer Mizbeach. That's an Etonin Bachot Bifnim, or the other way around, the ones that are supposed to go outside, he has in mind to put inside. Shechluhut Meim, or he has in mind that Tomei people will eat the Korban. Shechrivuhut Meim, or that Tomei people will be makrivit. Rashi further down on the Omud points out that makriv in this kind of context means to actually offer the emurim. We don't mean the blood, we mean the emurim. Anyway, sheyichlu ha'reidim, or he has in mind that people who are oral will eat it, and we learned before that an oral is possible to do that, but he's also...
So this is all different types of pigle, yeah?
No, so these will not be pigle, is what we're going to say. These are all machsavas that he might have while he's doing the avodah, but none of these make it pigle, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda had held that machsavas hinuach is enough to make it possible, but he agrees by all these other ones that they don't even pass the Korban. So if any of them are actually done, then some of them will actually be...
So all of these are not pigle?
No, so none of these, the machshava will not make it pigle or even possel. Now, some of them, if they're actually done, will make the korban unable to be eaten.
So what is pigle?
Pigle is after chutz manoi. What he has in mind that he's going
to... Only chutz manoi?
Only chutz manoi. He's going to eat or burn the emurim or sprinkle the blood outside the time that it's supposed to. Even chutz mekoimoi doesn't make it pigle. Chutz mekoimoi, what he has in mind to do it outside the azara, doesn't make it pigle. The only thing that makes it pigle is chutz manoi. There's an explanation that I mentioned to some people in this year before from a Shamshon of Saul Hirsch. He says the idea is, a person has in mind chutz mekoimoi or any of these other things, basically what he's saying is, I'm not satisfied with the way the Eibishter said to do the Avodah, I plan to take it outside and do it someplace else. That's bad, but it's not enough to make Chiyuv Kodesh. Pigle is basically saying, fine, I'm doing it in the Bais Hamikdash as Hashem said, but I decided that his deadlines are not important to me. What? I need my own deadlines.
Where's the marker from Pigle?
The marker from Pigle, the Gemara explained earlier, is from Psukim, from a couple of Psukim about the Shlomim. One, there's a Pasuk in Parshas Tzav, there's another Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. The Gemara had gone through it in some detail and explained that the Pasuk... So the Gemara explained that you have chutz mekoimoi, but that makes it only possible, not pigle. You were saying all these machshavas are none of the above; they won't even make it possible. So some of them, again, if they're actually done, then they'll make the korban possible. The sprinkling the blood in the wrong place, for example, there was a piece, there was a sugya a few blocks ago discussing where Shmuel had said that the korban can be kosher if the blood was sprinkled in the wrong place, but the meat cannot be eaten. And then you have different other things I hear. Here we're saying, for example, that...
What's the chilitzushin? For a second, so lepel, the difference between pigle and possel.
So the difference between pigle and possel is pigle, a person's chayv kodes, possel is not, only chayv malchus. So far we're saying as follows: machsheves man makes it pigle. Anybody who eats a kazayis from it is chayv kodes. Possel just means it's possel. A person who eats a kazayis from it is chayv malchus. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that machsheves hinuach is enough to make it possel. So he has in mind to leave over the blood for tomorrow and not to do anything with it at all. Now we're saying all these other thoughts to put it in the warm part of the Mizbeah, or in the warm Mizbeah altogether, or that Tzveim should eat it, etc., etc. That Arelim should eat it. That Arelim should be makriv, the Imurim. L'shaber atmas haPesach, or it's a Korban Pesach, and he has in mind that he's going to break bones of it, which is also L'chalei Manin, no, he has in mind to eat from it roasted, raw, or half-roasted, which is also Or L'arab Jami, B'dam HaPsolim, he has in mind to mix the blood together with blood that's fussled. In all those cases, kosher. The Korban is completely kosher. She'ein ma'ashav peselas, ala b'chutz v'zmane, b'chutz v'mekoymer, only chutzes mane, which will make a pigle, chutzes mekoyme, which will make a posel, v'apesach v'achatas sholei lishman, and as I talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, a person does one of the avoiders of a pesach or a chatas sholei lishman, those are the only things that will pass all currently. No other machshava will do that. Now, so we said that Rabbi Yehuda says machsheves hinuach, a thought to leave over the blood for the next day is enough to passel the korban, or the emurim, to leave them over for the next day even without doing anything with them is enough to passel the korban. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? So Amar Rav Elazar trei kroy ksivi b'noiser, because regarding noiser you have two relevant psukim. One pasuk says don't leave over from it until the morning. Now, on the face of it, we mean the pasuk as far as the Korban Pesach, where it says like Sesiru Menu Ad Boker in Parshas Bo. However, Tosfos wonders that how we're able to learn the Gemara is going to say in Lozet, but how can we learn from the Korban Pesach to other Korbanos, given that the Korban Pesach has many features that are unique to Korbanos, for example, the fact of Shalom Deshmoy. Shutum Kubetza says instead that so Zerashi also explains that the two pesukim is one by the Pesach, one by the Torah. The Shutum Kubetza asks the same question as Tosfos. Then how can we learn from? Now, never mind. How can you learn from the Korban Pesach? Each one is needed legufo. You need one about the Korban Pesach and one about the Torah, because each one, the Gemara mentions that we do in the Masechta, has unique features of its own. Rather, Shutum Kubetza says the first pasuk Lo Yisirim Menu Ad Boker is actually a pasuk regarding the Torah, one in Parshas Tzav and one in Parshas Emor. So both of them are about the same Korban, and therefore the Gemara can well use one of them for something else.
Lo Yisirim Menu Ad Boker state.
Do you have a pasuk in Parshas Tzav that says, "Lo Yisirim Menu Ad Boker"?
And
then you have so Tosfos is learning so Rashi and Tosfos are learning that the first Lo Yisirim Menu Ad Boker is talking about the Korban Pesach. According to Shittim Kovetzis, it's where it says Lo Yisirim Menu Ad Boker by a Torah. Yes. Parshas Emor, the thesis before Zevach Toda LaHashem Litzon Tzamtiz Bachol Shvayemahu Yochol Lo Yisirim Menu Ad Boker Ani Hashem,
which makes a lot more sense.
And then the other pasuk as well, the pasuk Echad Emor Lo Yaniach Menu Ad Boker. Another pasuk also in connection with the Toda says he should not leave over from it till the morning. Right. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, we're talking about two different korbanos. According to the Maharas in Shittim Kovetzis, we're talking about one korban. Both of them are about the Toda. Anyway, so why do we have two psukim? Given that you don't need one of those psukim to tell us about where he actually left it over, because if he left it over, then it's noiser, and then that's that. Then instead apply it to the thought of inyan. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's where I get that a machsheves inyan is enough to pass the korban. But the question is, is that really what the pasuk is coming to teach us according to Rabbi Yehuda? Don't we need that pasuk to teach us a different point, where it says in a braisa? We're going to go through the whole pasuk phrase by phrase. And we're going to learn it phrase by phrase. That teaches us about the Torah itself, that it's eaten only for one day and one night. Even though a Torah, later on in the Masechta, it talks about fundamentally a Torah as a type of shlomim, and usually a shlomim would be eaten for 2 days and a night, but here you have an exception, and it's only one day and one night. I once saw an explanation, I think it might be from the Ramban, I don't remember, that the reason is because a Torah, a person brings when like a nest happened to him or something great like that. We want, because there's a much shorter deadline to eat it, necessarily he's going to have to make a big Suda and invite a lot of people so that there's no noiser. And then at the Suda, we'll be able to tell over Beroyim Am with the nest that the Elisha did for him. I saw actually, now that I think of it, another explanation as well. The reason is because yesterday's Torah is not good enough. You need a new Torah. You need a new thanks to the Eibishter every day. And therefore, you can't have yesterday's Torah is good enough for today.
Really, Annie.
Yeah, every day needed its Mardana, yeah. Anyway, so Chalifin, how do we know also if a person exchanged the carbon toda for something else, which is the case where he had an animal that was meant to be his toda and then he lost it and used a different one instead and then he found the original one, uvlodos, or the baby of a toda, because a toda can be a female animal, so therefore it could conceivably have a baby, tmuros, so it's tmura of a toda, all of those things are in fact brought as a carbon. Rashi brings from a relevant Gemara and Bechoris that we learn that all of those are brought as a carbon. Minayin, how do we know the same thing that with them also, that they're eaten only for one day and the following night, Talmud Lama uvsar. That is why it says the word uvsar, meaning the meat of any carbon of any toda type carbon. Chatas v'osham minayin. How do we know the chatas and osham are eaten only for one day and one night? The Torah never spells it out in so many words. Talmud Lama zebach. Therefore, you have the word zebach, teaches us to include those. How do we know to also include the shlomim, the ram that a nozir brings, and the shalmei pesach? Rashi says means chagiga sabal also, the chagiga that's brought together on erev pesach together with the carbon pesach in most years. Now you have the Gemara mentions in Pesachim and Machlokas whether in fact that shlomim, whether that shalmei, whether chagiga sabal also is in fact like the carbon pesach and it can be eaten only that night, or whether it's like a regular shlomim and it can be eaten later, or Gemara is going according to the opinion that it can be eaten only that night, like the Pesach, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema in the Gemara in Pesachim. Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta a different meaning of Shalmei Pesach. Doesn't necessarily mean the shlomim that are brought with the Pesach. It can mean the shlomim that are brought with using an animal that was supposed to be a carbon Pesach and wasn't brought for one reason or another, where the Gemara tells us in many places that animal now becomes a shlomim. In any case, so how do we know to include them as well? Now, Rashi points out, we can't include a regular shlomim, because the Torah clearly says by a regular shlomim that you can eat it for 2 days. So here, if we're trying to be mamayit and saying that, and say a bunch of korbanos that can be eaten only for a day and a night, then it can't be a regular shlomim, it can only be these special types.
So a certain shlomim that's for 1 day.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. The Shalmei Nozir, the Toda of El Nozir, the Toda, which itself a type of Shlomim, the El Nozir, which is also a Shlomim, as well as the Shalmei Pesach, according to the opinion that we mean over here, the one that's brought with the Korban Pesach. Anyway, Talmud Lama Shlomov.
The Shlomim that is brought to Korban Pesach, it can be only for 1 day?
So that's the thing. So you have a Machloikas and a Gemara in Pesachim. According to Yehuda ben Tema, yes, it can only be eaten the same deadline.
The regular shlomim that comes with the Pesach.
This is what we're talking
or
about.
The one that was supposed to be a Pesach and became a shlomim.
The one that was supposed to be a Pesach and became a shlomim, Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta whether that's the one we mean over here. According to Rashi, though, we're talking about, Tosfos says whether we mean Moser HaPesach, what's left over that was supposed to be a Pesach and now is not being brought to the Pesach.
Moser HaPesach becomes a Shlomim.
Becomes a Shlomim, yeah. But, meanwhile, as far as the Chagiga, that's the Chagiga Sabah also, that's usually brought together with the Korban Pesach, when you need, we have nowadays, we commemorate it with the Beitza, by the Seder, etc., with Neuchel Shomin HaZvachim, Menapsachim, all that. So yeah, according to Yehuda ben Tema, that can also only be eaten the same deadline as the Korban Pesach.
You say it together, I understand. What is it saying, the thing?
The Torah doesn't say. The Torah just says, "Zavachta Pesach l'Hashem alakecha soinu v'oker." One thing we learn from that word that it says "boker," because after all, the carbon Pesach is not brought from boker, only soin, is sort of Yehuda ben Tema takes that to mean it refers to the shalom, to the shlomim that come with the Pesach, and we learn from that it has the same deadline as the carbon Pesach. But some disagree and learn other things. But some disagree that there's other things from that part. Okay. Anyway, so how do we know? The Talmud Lama shlomov. Therefore, the pasuk says shlomov, meaning all the different types of shlomim. Except for the regular one, again, because the apostle clearly says by the regular one that it's 2 days. What about lachmei toida? What about when you bring a toida, you bring along with it 40 loaves of bread? The chalas the rakikim shel nozer, and when they bring the el nozer, they bring with it 20 loaves of bread. Minayin, how do we know they have the same deadline? Talmud Lama korbanos. That is why the Torah continues and says the word korban. So far you have ubsar, which teaches us about the Ufsar, teaches us about the other types of Toida, the Chalifin and Vlodis and Tmuris. Zevach teaches us about the Chatas and Hetam. Toida teaches us about the actual Torah, and Shlomo teaches us about the other kinds of Shlomim, the Shalmei Nozer and Shalmei Pesach, and the Yom Korbonai. He teaches us about the Chalos of Rikikim Shabbat Nozer. Kulan, Korani, Bahen, Lo Yaniach. All of them, the Torah says, don't leave them over for the morning. So that being the case, then Rabbi Yehuda needs that word Lo Yaniach for that. How is he able to now use it to teach us about Mahasheves Hinuach, about thinking to leave over the blood or the Emorim that should pass the Korban? The answer is, in Cain, Lemakur, Loise Siru, but then the Torah could have used the same word, Loise Siru, that it uses later on, that it uses elsewhere. My Loyaniach, instead it uses the word Loyaniach, don't leave it over. Therefore, in Lehinuach, since we don't need it to teach us about Hinuach, about actually leaving it over, then you can use it to teach us about the fuller of Hinuach. Okay? The Gemara says, Hatenach Laniach. Fine, that'll cover the case where he has in mind. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said there are two kinds of things that can pass on the Korban. One where he has in mind to leave over the blood of the Emorim for tomorrow, and the other one where he has in mind to take them out of the Azara. If he has in mind Lahaniach, then we can see from this Jerusha of the Pasuk that would pass on the Korban. Lahoitzi Ma'ik Lamemar. What about when he has in mind to take it out of the Azara? Where do you have anything in this Pasuk that indicates that it should be possible? But time of the Rabbi Yehuda Svarahu. Not only that, you have to realize Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda's basis for his din in the Mishnah is not based on a pasuk. It's just based on a svara. D'tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Amalem Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says to the other Chachamim, "Iyata modim sheminicha b'machar shul pasul." Don't you agree that if he actually left it over for tomorrow, then it would actually be pasul because you have to sprinkle the blood that day, otherwise it becomes pasul. Therefore, apachi shivlan nicha b'machar pasul. Therefore, also thinking to leave it for tomorrow makes it pasul as well. So he's not basing himself on a pasuk at all. So the Gemara says, you're right. Every time of the Rabbi Yehuda Svarah, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda is basing himself purely on a Svarah. Basically, he's saying anything that would have passed the Korban, if it was actually done, would pass the Korban also if there was a Machshava to do it. Tosfos elsewhere asks, what about the Emurim? The fact is, if the Emurim weren't brought, the Korban is still kosher. So Tosfos elsewhere explains actually that would be exeded Dirabbanan. Because if he had in mind to leave over the blood, Rabbi Yehuda says the svara is if he actually left it over, the korban would be possible, because the blood has to be sprinkled before shkia for the korban to be kosher. Even though the same is not true of the emurim, the korban will be kosher even if the emurim never end up getting offered. Nevertheless, Tosfos explains in Menachas that the chachamim would make a zera also, because you might confuse it with the pashtus, because you might confuse it with the dam, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would say the same thing. Okay, well then the question is, in that case,
you might think
if there's no problem having in mind to leave over the Emunim tomorrow, maybe there's also no problem thinking to leave over the blood for tomorrow, and that goes against Rabbi Yehuda Svarah, I'll say. So the question is, v'niflig nami Rabbi Yehuda b'kulim. Well then, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda argue in all the cases of our Mishnah? A lot of the cases of our Mishnah are things that might pass the Korban. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda argue by them as well? And if his svara is anything that, if it's actually done, passes the Korban, then a machshava of it would also pass it. So he must say, behe niflum. Well, which ones do you want him to argue about? Let's go through the list. Out of order, fine, but let's go through it. B'shoiva asmas ha-pesach v'lechol menu na. If he has in mind to break bones in the korban pesach or to eat it raw, what's the problem? Zivcha gufa min yifsil. Does the korban itself become possible with that? The fact is, even if somebody does break a bone from the korban pesach, or even if somebody does eat it, no. The korban as a whole does not become possible. The person was yotze having brought the korban. He's over on a lot. He's going to get malchus for it, but yeah. What about Amanas? You're going to say Amanas that Tmeim will eat it or to offer the Emurim. Again, Zivcha Gufei Min Nifsel. Would the Korban itself become possible with that? The blood is one thing, but the Yakrivuhu actually points out that the context of the Mishnah, just like we're talking about, Yakluhu means the meat, the same way Yakrivuhu has to mean the Emurim. It does not mean the blood. The blood was sprinkled properly. And the question is, that Tmeim are going to eat from the Korban or are going to burn the Emurim. That doesn't pass on the Korban retroactively. Once the blood is sprinkled, that's it. The Korban is kosher. So there's no reason for the Yehuda to disagree in those cases. Shiachlu areilim v'shiachivuhu areilim. You're going to say that areilim should eat it or be makriv v'emurim. Same thing. Zivcha gufim imifsil. The korban itself is not going to become possible from it. Lishna achrina. Or with that last one, you can say a different way of saying it. Kol tamina. Is it in his hands? How, as far as the tmeim and areilim, how could he get koyanim who are tmeim or areilim to eat it or to burn it? You can't make somebody else do an Avera. So his Machshava, that a Tome or an Oral was going to do these things, is ineffective because it's meaningless. It's like making a Shavua that somebody else will do something. There is an interesting point in that regard. Further on Omid Bey, the Gemara seems to be saying something differently, that there is, the Gemara takes up this business about a Tome again, and actually makes it sound like it is, like, to a certain extent, it is B'yadai. So one answer is, so first of all, here we're talking a point of Yehuda, on Omid Bey, we're talking a point of the Chachamim, we'll get back to that. That's an answer from the Chafetz Chaim and a couple of other Achronim, but then there's a different answer as well. Tavos Shor gives an answer that here we're focusing mainly on the Arelin. If he himself, let's say, for example, a Tome, you could argue, fine, he could be doing it patara and have in mind later today, I plan to make myself tome and then I'll eat from this korban or I'll burn the emun. But an oral, it's impossible. Once he's a gemalata, he can't make himself back into an oral. So the only way for an oral would be to have in mind that somebody else will do it, and there's no way that he can make them do it. Okay, what about the case when he has in mind to mix the blood together with blood of a fossil korban? That's according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a problem. Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei, dama in dam mevatel dam. Rabbi Yehuda in that will go according to his shita, where he says that blood is not mevatel blood. He says min b'mina in a bottle. The Gemara discussed that yesterday. It discusses it in a few places in Or Masechta and in some other places. He learns it from when in connection with the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, where you mix the blood of the par and the blood of the sur. A par has a lot more blood than a sur. You'd think it should be mevatel at beroiv, and nevertheless, it's not bottle. So Rabbi Yehuda learns from that in dam mevatel dam. We talked about yesterday, Tosfos explains, now it is true you're not allowed to sprinkle blood of psulim on the Mizdeach, but Rabbi Yehuda can say, as we have later in the Masechta.
Mitlis far as what? We're mevatel for what?
The Chachamim holds dam as mevatel dam. So if you have a little amount of blood of a kosher korban mixed in with a larger amount of blood, of possible blood, whether it's possible because it's dam atamsis, it's not the actual dam nefesh, whether it's possible because it came from a balmum or one of the other psulim, etc., etc. The Chachamim hold you can't sprinkle such blood. Rabbi Yehuda holds no problem ain't dam mevatel dam. So what it is Tosfos explains in a couple of places, yet in yesterday's daf and later in the Masechta, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, what we'll say is we'll consider for that purpose as though the pasul blood, as though it was water. So that way he's not being over on sprinkling pasul blood on the Mizbech. So then according to him, if he has in mind to mix blood of psulim with blood of kratom, no problem. The blood of the kratom is not bottle anyhow. So it doesn't pass on the curving. Litin as any tonin lamaila lamata or lamata lamaila, you're going to say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda should argue in the case where he had in mind to put blood that was supposed to go on the top half of the Mizbeach to put it on the bottom half or vice versa. That's also not a problem. Rabbi Yehuda again will be going according to his Svara. He says that putting the blood in the wrong place on the Mizbeach is still, the korban still becomes kosher. So Shaloi b'mekayme kim mekayme darim. Rashi refers to, there was a Gemara in the previous parak that had talked about that idea where a person has in mind to put the blood in the wrong place. And the Gemara had a whole sugya on the subject, and it pointed out that appointed of Yehuda, it's the equivalent. It doesn't necessarily mean the korban will be kosher to eat, but at least the korban won't be possible as a result of it. So therefore, it's not something that if it's even actually done, the korban will be possible, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda has no reason to say that if he thought to do it, it should make the korban possible. The question is, fine, but at least why isn't, of all the cases in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda's svara is anything that's actually done that passes the korban, then a machshava of it will also pass the korban, well then what about the blood that was supposed to be placed, that was supposed to be done inside the heichel, and is done on the mizbech hachitzen, or vice versa? He should be arguing over there. Especially, Rashi points out, on the ones that are supposed to be b'chutz, and he does the snim, the fact is, a chatos chitzoyna, where the blood is supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach chitzen, if he takes the blood into the heichel, the whole korban becomes possible. So then why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda hold that a machshava of that would also possible the korban? So the answer is Kasavar Rabbi Yehuda, but in Mokim Shei Mishulosh B'dam B'Basar B'Emorim. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that for a Machshava of Mokim, of Chutz L'Mekayim, to Kassel, it has to be a Mokim Mishulosh. It has to be a place that has the triple thing of Dam B'Basar B'Emorim. The Gemara had previously mentioned this point.
One of them should be...
So you actually have like this. Earlier in the Perek, the Gemara had learned from the word Shlishi, that it says in Me'ochel Yo'ochel B'Ema Shlishi, the Gemara had learned from the word Shlishi that it needs to be Mokim Mishulosh. Rashi had explained that Mokim Mishulosh means, for example, as opposed to the Heichel. Because the Heichel, you're not allowed to eat Kodshim in there, so you can't say it's a place where Dam and Basar and Emurim can be done. Because not Mokim Mishulosh. Tosfos had a long discussion over there and brought a half dozen other explanations what Mokim Mishulosh means. It can mean maybe outside the, for Tosfos points out, on the face of it, there is a time when you could eat kodshim in the Heichel. The Gemara discusses later in the Masechta that, for example, if the Harabayas is being, if the Azara is being besieged by Goyim, and it's dangerous to sit and to stand outside in the Azara and eat the Korbanos, then the Kohenim can go into the Heichel and eat them. So it is Mokim Mishulosh. So Tosfos brought a bunch of other explanations. Means maybe only it applies only things involving the Mizbeach HaChitzon as opposed to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, where the only one of these things that's ever placed on it is Dam. There's no Basar and no Emurim that are ever placed on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Tosfos does have questions. That answer, another answer is that it means he has to be standing in the Azara, as opposed to, for example, if he stands outside the Azara and shechts with a long knife, as it talks about earlier in our parak. And Tosfos goes through a whole bunch of different possibilities, what Mokim Mishulosh means. In any case, the point is that the Heichel, therefore, is not necessarily Mishulosh, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was not going to argue, even though it is true that taking a blood of a chatas, at least in there, will passel the korban. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says, we learn from Sukkim that a machshava is going to passel only it involves, and only if it involves a mokum mishulosh. Tosfos, in fact, says over here, you would have to actually ask, you would have to actually figure out, according to all those half dozen explanations of Tosfos, how their definitions of mokum mishulosh would fit over here. For example, the one that it doesn't apply if he's standing outside the Azara doesn't seem to be relevant over here. We were talking about inside or outside the Heifer. Anyway, so fine. The question is, does Rabbi Yehuda in fact hold of that you need Mokim Mishulosh? The Hatanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we learn in the Braisa. Now, the Pasuk says, Lo Sizbach Vashem Alekecha, Shor Vaseh Asher Yibayimun, Kol Dover Rob. Don't sacrifice to Hashem anything bad. So what does anything bad mean? The word dover ra means things where a korban was brought in a way that makes it possible. And Tosfos points out also the word dover ra suggests something involving dibur, which can also mean machshava. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, dover ra, riba kan chatas shechta badorim. This comes to include a chatas that was shechted in the south, which is not the proper place to shecht a chatas, the chatas shenichnas domolifnim, or a chatas whose blood was brought into the heichel, if he had in mind those things during the shechita, that psula, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, it will in fact be possible. So Taka Rabbi Yehuda does hold that such thoughts make it kosher. Why didn't he argue in the Mishnah? And then we see that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Shehei Mishulosh B'dam B'Basar B'Emorim. So Taka, why don't we say that he argues on the case where he has in mind to bring blood that was supposed to be outside to bring it inside. So we see that he doesn't hold of this concept of Mokim Mishulosh. But the Gemara asks right back, but let's say that Rabbi Yehuda Shlishi or Aisara. On the other hand, are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of that drasha from Shlishi, or Shittim Kubetzis changes the words to Aisara, that he doesn't hold of that Svara, that if he has in mind to bring it in, he won't pass the carbon. We learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hichnis B'Shoigig, even if he did actually bring in the blood B'Shoigig, kosher. Hob amazed apostle, implying that if he brought it in amazed, the Korban would be apostle. The Kaimalon, and in that Sugya, we explain that even Rabbi Yehuda says that the amazed is only the Shekipur, not just bringing it in, but actually sprinkling it on the Mizbeach HaZahav, just bringing it in doesn't make it apostle. So Hashto, Mahasim, Aili Aila, Madachavadevi actually brought it in, Ekipur Ein, Eli Kipur Loi, and only if he actually was Machaper with it, only if he actually sprinkled it, is the Korban now apostle, but if not, then not. Hochat the Chashiv Chashuvi, like Foshkin, Healy only had a machshava. How much more so that it shouldn't pass it. So Taka, Rabbi Yehuda does hold that if you have in mind bringing the blood inside the hazel. So Mela Kachas Shenichnas Gomel Lefnim, as in the previous Brayse Rebbe. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says, we learn some words. Dover Ra, don't be makhil such a chorim. But if he did think to bring it in, Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that it's possible. So he does agree with our Mishnah. Well, that being the case, then it means that so we see that Rabbi Yehuda does hold the Svarah that you need Mokum Mishulash. Tosfos actually brings up the question, wait a minute, then you could ask the same thing about paper. If a person sprinkles part of the blood outside the Azorah, he doesn't pass all the rest of the korban with it. If he actually sprinkles some of the blood outside, he won't pass all the korban. But if he has in mind to sprinkle some of the blood outside, that's machshavas makom, and he will pass all the korban. So you see that sometimes machshava can be stronger than a maisa. So what's the question over here then? Same thing. The maisa of actually bringing it in won't make the korban possible unless he actually sprinkles it in the
histologic.
Whatever the logic is, the fact is, yeah, that's the concept of pigle. The concept of pigle and the related concept of chutz l'makom is that a machshava is powerful, machshava mayalas, and it can pass all the korban.
Yeah, but the maaseh for sure should be passing.
No, but that's the thing. For example, with pigle, if he with chutz l'makom, that's the, if he actually sprinkles some of the blood outside the azara, it doesn't pass all the rest of the korban. As long as there's enough dama nefesh inside to sprinkle, then fine, the korban is partial.
Okay, because the machshava goes on the whole korban.
No, but that's the thing. The point is that a thought, for example, of eating one kezayis to the korban, chutz mano, is enough to make it pigle. A thought of eating one kezayis
to the korban, specifying which kezayis.
But here is the same thing. If he has in mind one,
let's say if he specifies which kezayis,
wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter.
It's mefagel the whole
korban. Yeah.
You get the logic?
Yeah, yeah, I understand. But
the logic?
The logic is because once he has in mind Dover Shadaka Lechel or Dover Shadaka Lahakdu to brew it outside the time, then the whole thing can become pigle, whether he specifies one particular kazayas or whether he says in general.
And the Maisa?
The Maisa, so if he Taka eats it after the time, already the korban was kosher at the time the blood was sprinkled, the fact that he eats some of it 2 days later is not enough to pass it, even if he eats all of it 2 days later, is not enough to pass the korban retroactively. The Gemara had given a swada for that earlier. Once the korban is kosher, it can't retroactively become possible. And the Gemara ended up learning from Sukkim as well.
What if he eats chutz l'makom a kazayis before he eats the rest of the korban?
Doesn't matter.
Why?
Because the fact is that once the blood has been sprinkled, the korban is kosher. But second of all, you can't have that once after the fact he eats it, that after the zrika he eats some of it chutz l'makom, that you pass all the rest of it. There's no svara to say that. No place that we find such a thing. We find machshava, we don't find maaseh. And now Tosfos says by the same logic then, so why is the Gemara wondering why the machshava of bringing it into the hazel shouldn't be any stronger than actually bringing it in? That's exactly how pigul, that's exactly how chutz l'makom and chutz l'makom work. So Tosfos says because the where are we learning it from? We're learning from Dover Ra. So he's saying something else, something that is Ra b'makom acher. Then you can't have it in mind b'shas zvicha. But over here. In other words, there is putting blood on the Mizbeach HaZahav is mechaper sometimes. Therefore, the Torah can tell us if he actually did that, then it passes the korban. But not necessarily would we say that a thought of that is enough to pass the korban, as opposed to chutz l'zman, chutz l'makom, which is always possible. To eat chutz l'makom is possible. Therefore, we can call a machshava of it something strong enough to pass all the korban, as opposed to just sprinkle blood on the mizbeach hapnimi. After all, there are korbanos that that's supposed to be done with. So therefore, we can't call it completely dover ra to the extent that we should say that a machshava of it should pass all the korban. So the answer is Trei Tanoim, the Bidur Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is there must be two Tanoim who disagree what Rabbi Yehuda says. One who says. One who says that if he has in mind to take the blood inside, it will be possible because of the svara that we said before, that anything that will passel the korban and machshava of it will also passel. And another one that says that in fact such a machshava will not passel the korban, which is like our mission. By the way, the Gemara says here's another point as well in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The sover of Yehuda hatas shocks about Doraim Yehei Chayev. Are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person sets a chatas on the south, he should be Chayev Malkus? Because we said he learns it from the words Lois Sizbach Kol Dovon Ra. Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa of Yehuda Omer, Yoko chatas shocked about Doraim Yehei Chayev. You would think a person would be Chayev Malkus for shechting a chatas from the south. No, Tamad Lomel, Lois Sizbach Rashama the Kafa Sherva Seven Gomer, Kol Dovon Ra. Again, you have this pasuk that says that don't offer to Hashem kol davar ra, meaning al davar ra at machayver. This price says that davar ra means a mum begov, which is mugune, something disgraceful to offer to Hashem. So for that at machayver, you can be machayver in malchus. The at machayver also after sheshach to madorim, but not for a chatas that was shechted in the sand. And again, the answer is today tanoi. Other than Rabbi Yehuda, there are two different tanoim who disagree what Rabbi Yehuda said. So we have two different cases where different Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda took his opinion in different ways. One, if a person has in mind to take the blood of a chatas chitzona and take it inside to the heichel, does the korban become possible or not? According to our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, because he agrees with the Hanukkah on it. According to one Braisa, he says that yes. And the second, where he shechts a chatas or in the south, is he chayv malchus for it? According to one Braisa, yes, and according to the other one. Getting back to this matter of Machsheves Hinuach, again, where he had in mind to leave over the blood for the next day, where according to Yehuda that passes the korban and according to the chum, it doesn't. Now, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that a thought of Hinuach, that the korban is still able to become pigla. Now, you have like this. The Gemara has mentioned earlier that Machsheva Motzi Midei Machsheva, meaning that if a korban can be tigel only if there was no other machshava with it that would passel it. So, for example, if you had in mind in one avoda a thought of chutz manimah, and in a different avoda a thought of chutz makomo, then the korban will not be tigel. It has to be chutz manimah either throughout all the avodas or in one avoda and no machshava that passels it in any other one. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Machsheves Hinuach is enough to pass the korban. Nevertheless, Rabbi Abba says that Machsheves Hinuach is not strong enough to be motzi bidei machshava to undo the machshava of tigul. So if he had in mind during one of the avodas that he's going to do Hinuach, that he's going to leave the blood over for tomorrow, and then during another avoda he has in mind to sprinkle it tomorrow, David, then it will be.
Much better. Close it off because the daven and much more sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so.
My mother, when you're here, I just can't wait to hang out. So, still okay?
Okay. So we're saying
Shalom Mayalis.
Shalom Mayalis. Yeah. So here we're saying like this. That's true. But nevertheless, Rashi and Tosfos hold that. Right. So one thing Taka to realize with that is the point that Kodshim depend very, the Korbanos depend very much on Machshava. You know, you have all over the place in the Vian screaming at the Jewish people, maybe she doesn't need your Korbanos, maybe she needs your Toto, Mice, and Dave. Well, that fits with this as well. If you're going to bring on the Korban with a wrong Machshava, then yeah, you're missing the whole point of what a Korban is all about. Okay, so now Rabbi Yehuda is saying like this again. If a person had, let's say, a thought of Chutz from a Koimo in one Avoida,
You connect?
It's not my own idea. So it's not my own idea. I probably heard where I'm talking about it before.
No, you just answered
right
the whole question.
Okay. Yeah. So if he had in mind a thought of chutz from a koma in one avoda and chutz from mana in another avoda, then it wouldn't be pigul. He actually had Rabbi Yehuda himself actually holds earlier in the Masechta that if he had in mind the thought of pigul first, then nothing else can undo it. Fine, but we're not getting into that right now. The point is, the Baba is saying, if he had in mind a thought of Hinuach, and later on he has a thought of Pigul, then the fact that there was a thought of Hinuach is not going to prevent it from becoming Pigul. That Machshava is not strong enough to take away the... Oh, it's not considered. It's not considered like the other machshavas it's not considered like the other machshavas. The Shidim Kubetis explains a reason, a logic behind it, is because the whole concept of machshava motzi midei machshava we learn from a pasuk. So that's the machshava. So that would refer to the machshavas that are hinted at in the pasuk over there. Chutz manu, chutz tomei, and shalo l'shmoi bad pesach. Machshavas hinuach is not from that pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda ultimately, we said, is learning it from a svara, so therefore it's not included in that category. Amar Rava. So Rava says teda. You can prove that the pigul lifnei zrika loyklum. The whole concept of pigul doesn't apply before zrika. What happens? A person shechts a korban with a thought of chutzas mano. It doesn't yet become pigul. It's not yet chayiv karis for it. When does it officially become pigul? Only when he does the zrika. And at that point, it's called the chutzah, that now the korban becomes acceptable in the sense that now it becomes pigul. The asya zrika becomes a pigul. So he's, and the zrika now comes and establishes it as pigul. So now, what happens? In other words, when he has in mind a thought to leave over the blood for tomorrow, if he has in mind a thought to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, included in that is going to leave it over for tomorrow, because by definition, he's going to sprinkle it tomorrow. He has to have left it over for tomorrow. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda does agree that if he has in mind to sprinkle it tomorrow, it will be pigul. So therefore, Rava says the logic is, so therefore, the same thing with Machshavas Hinuach. If Machshavas Hinuach is included in the thought to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, so therefore, and when he actually sprinkles it today, it will become pigul. So therefore, you see, like Rav Abba says, that the thought of Hinuach is not enough to take away pigul. However, the Gemara says Veloyhi, that's not a solid proof, because Hossam who called a machshava, he hachat three machshavas. Because the fact is, they are, in the case of pigul, it's one machshava that he's going to sprinkle tomorrow. Yeah, it includes implicitly that he's going to leave it over tomorrow, but he's not having a separate thought of that. Here he has two separate thoughts. A, that I'm going to leave it over tomorrow. B, that I'm going to sprinkle it tomorrow. So it's not really a proof. The fact that in the one case it's pigul, that in the other case it should be pigul as well, not really a proof. Okay? The Gemara says, "Eighth grade of Rav Huna and Rav Abba." So Rav Huna questions Rav Abba. So you're telling me, according to Rav Yehuda, he had a thought of Hinuach, the korban can still become pigul. What about we had the list before? Litzenas and eternal Amayu Lamata. He had in mind to sprinkle blood that's supposed to go on the top half of the Mizeah on the bottom half, or the Mata Lamayla, or the other way around. If we had a Mishnah earlier in Orma Sefta, that actually it was a Braisa, but Alter Kosher. If he has in mind to do that right away, then the Korban is Kosher, because as we said in our Mishnah, a thought to put it on the wrong part of the Mizeah is not enough to pass on the Korban. Right? If afterwards in another avodah he has in mind chutzam koyim, right? Possible the end by kardes, and as usual with chutzam koyim, the korban will be possible, but there's no kardes. Chutzas mano, but if he has in mind in another avodah chutzas mano, then as usual pigul v'chayavan olav kardes. Now that's all if he had in mind to do it la'alter, and then afterwards he had chutzas mano chutzam koyim l'macher. But if he had in mind to put it on the mizbeach tomorrow, possible, then the korban is possible, because that's machshavas hinuach. Now that the Gemara had explained earlier that this Draisa is specifically according to the Yehuda. And Rashi further explains, now it's not that it becomes, we're not talking about that he has in mind to sprinkle it tomorrow. That would make a pickle. Here we're talking only fossil. So it has to be, we're talking about we had in mind to leave it over for tomorrow. And the only one who says that a thought of leaving over for tomorrow makes a fossil is the Yehuda. And Braisa continues, cause of a chishiv ben chutzas manu ben chutzam avoda. Right? If now afterwards he has a thought of chutzas manu or chutzam avoda and another avoda, fossil the end by kardes, the korban is fossil, but there's no kardes in him. So you see that not like Rav Abba. You see when he had a thought of hinuach, it can't become pigul anymore. According to Rav Yehuda, tiyufta de Rav, so that's a clear contradiction on Rav Abba. You're right, tiyufta, that's a clear contradiction, and therefore Rav Abba's understanding of Rav Yehuda is that we don't accept it. Instead, Rav Yehuda would say, machshavas hinuach is like any other machshava, it can prevent the korban from becoming pigul. Now, Rav Yehuda will say, as he said earlier in the Masechta, that if he has in mind the thought of pigul first, then a later machshava can't take that away. But if you had a thought of it, hinuach or anything else first, then the korban won't become pigul. The Gemara continues. If he has in mind that tmeim will eat from the korban the next day, pigul, then the korban actually chayev. Then he's chayev because it's pigul. Because, in other words, we don't say this is not machshava motzi midei machshava. We don't say that pneim eating it should not be considered a machshava, and therefore it should be considered a separate machshava that cancels out the pigle. We don't say that. Tosfos actually points out, now the Gemara had talked about a few blocks earlier, at the end of the previous parak, if a person has in mind that dogs will eat it. And the Gemara had explained that since dogs eating is also called eating in a pasuk, then therefore that's enough to be a machsheva of eating, and that's enough to make foreign thing. Here Tosfos points out, anyway, when the tmeim are going to eat it, it becomes tomei to begin with when they touch it, even before they eat it. You could have that somebody could stick it down his throat. But nevertheless, it is possible for the tummy, when he has in mind that the tummy will eat it, that could include that the tummy will eat it by handling it and therefore making it tummy. So nevertheless, though, that's not enough of a machshava to take away the concept of pickle. Nevertheless, the korban becomes pickle. Omer Rabba Teda, and Rabba again says, you can prove that. The bosel with Zrita Lechazi, consider that the meat of the korban cannot be eaten before Zrita. And yet, if he has in mind before the Zrika that he plans to eat it tomorrow, that it becomes pigle. It becomes pigle officially once the Zrika is done. But the point is, in other words, we see that even though the machshava took place before the Zrika, so the same way over here, when he has in mind that the korban is going to be eaten by people who are going to pass through it anyway by making it tomorrow. But the Gemara says below you, that's not a valid proof. Possum zorik for mefsi, because there the fact is you do zirka and now the meat becomes mutter to eat. Tochal and mefsi kral, as opposed to here for the tmeim to eat it, it doesn't become roi for them to eat at all. So therefore you could argue that it would be a machshava that would take away the concept of pigle. Nevertheless, we shlogged up Rava's proof, but we haven't shlogged up Rav Chista's actual din, and the Rambam does pass in like Rav Chista that if he has in mind that Tmeim will eat it, it will become possible. Now again, we said on Omar Aleph that if he has in mind that Tmeim will eat it, we said, Loi tok mine, he doesn't have it in his ability to make Tmeim eat it. So again, one answer is we weren't focusing so much on the Tmeim over there, but on the Arevan. And the Arelim, he doesn't have the ability to make Arelim eat it, as opposed to Tmeim, to a certain extent there is, because he could make himself Tomei and then eat it, and then therefore that Machshava has validity. Or the other way of looking at it is that there we were talking about points of Yehuda, and here we're talking about points of Achacha. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chista, Margula B'Pumei de Rav Dimi Bachinina. Rav Dimi Bachinina used to regularly say the following statement. The Sar Pesach Shalai Hutzla, the meat of the Korban Pesach that was not roasted yet, and you can't eat it until it's roasted. The Lachme Toda Shalai Hutzla, or the 40 loaves of bread that go with the Toda, where he didn't take off one of each type for the Koyan, and until you do that, you're not allowed to eat them. Nevertheless, Chayovan Alei Mishum Tumah, if a person were to eat that meat of the Korban Pesach, or those loaves of the Toda, when he's Tomei, he would be Chayev Choris for it. The rule is usually that the rule was earlier in the Perek, the Gemara had explained that where it's not roi for the Tahorim to eat, then if the Tmeim eat it, they're not chayev. But over here, once the blood was sprinkled, then fundamentally it's considered that it's nitzur the Tahorim. It's true there is something else still blocking it. The fact that the Korban Pesach has not been roasted. The fact that the Lachmei Toda hadn't been separated. But once the blood is sprinkled, basically it's nitzur the Tahorim. In other words, Tosfos says it's more like a side kind of thing. As opposed to the not sprinkled yet, means that's a fundamental thing of the Korban. And again, Omar Rava Teda, and Rava says here, you can win a proof. D'tanya, as we learn in Raisa, Asher L'Hashem, L'Rama Se Mori Kodshim Kalam L'Chomer. When the Pesach says, when it talks about that a person eats from the korban, Asher L'Hashem, those words, Asher L'Hashem, L'Rama Se Mori Kodshim Kalam L'Chomer, that comes to include that if a Tomei person eats the Emurim of Kodshim Kalam, then he's also Chayim. Now, the Emurim are not meant to be eaten, and still we see that he's chayev for eating them when he's tomei. Even though a raw korban pesach, or lachmei toda before the truma is taken off, are also to eat, nevertheless, they would still be chayev for truma. However, again, the Gemara says, v'loihi, that's not a solid proof, because the difference is, posim emurim kodshim kalim, chozel gavayim. The difference is right now, yeah, the emurim are never edible by a person. But nevertheless, once the blood is sprinkled, they will be suited for their purpose. They will be offered to Hashem. Bapukip sat Pesach Shleihutzla, the Lachme Toda Shleihumu, as opposed to this raw carbon Pesach, or these Lachme Toda without the Truma being taken off. At this point, they're not roy for anything. So therefore, see, so you could say that there's a difference, and maybe a person who's Tomei, who eats them, is not in fact trying for it. Lishnachrina, another version, how a murim loichozu, you could argue that the murim are not suitable to eat, the loihi, but that's not so, because kind of chozu no sayu, bahani loichozu tam, because again, we're putting in a different lotion, the murim are suitable for their purpose, the also the mizbeach, the lachme toda and the korban pesach at this point are not rory at all. Again, Rava's foof is shlugged up, but the din is still a din, and the fact is that a person is in fact hired for eating a korban pesach that wasn't roasted, or lachme toda where the truma wasn't taken off. Adrenaline, full of sugar.